The purpose of this meeting is to look at the regulations on the National Road Traffic Act of 1996, Act number 93. You will remember that last year the department presented a regulation that has been developed by the minister, and some of the clauses the portfolio committee proposed amendments to some of the clauses of the proposed regulation, and the department went back to look at that, and today we are giving them an opportunity to report it to us on the proposals that they have taken in consideration of what was proposed by the portfolio committee. That is the purpose of this meeting. And then we give an opportunity to the department officials to introduce themselves and then make the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm John Mutasing from the Department of Transport. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm here on behalf of the Department of Transport, responsible for road traffic regulation. I'm basically responsible for the drafting of the National Road Traffic Act. That's my core function within the Department of Transport.
I think the question that is being asked by Honorable Sook relates to the fact that we have an accounting office in the department in the name of the acting DG. And whenever the department appears in front of the portfolio committee, that is the person who has to meet the officer. And if she is not there, she has been is from the committee who will be coming and why she is not present.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, on behalf of the Acting Director General, I would want to apologize for the miscommunication that obviously took place. Unfortunately, the Acting Director General is currently attending to the issues that were raised by the Shareholders Committee on Friday. There are certain issues that the need to be finalized by yesterday and today. So that is why the Acting Director General is not present here today. But going forward, I will then advise the department in terms of the instructions from the Portfolio Committee with regards to the process that needs to unfold and that communication that needs to take place, and also then that to a certain extent, they then need to advise the portfolio committee in relation to who would then be appearing before the portfolio committee.
We don't want a situation or an impression to be created that we are fighting with you for the department. There is a standard procedure. Parliamentary Liaison Office, it is your responsibility. And also, if the acting DG is not appearing in front of the portfolio committee leading in the investigation from the department, the next person is the DDG. So, this arrangement lay, it was undermined. So, Kale was undermined with a single chair. Because last week we had this on our program, and then Yashita in program too. We were supposed to sit for 2 days, and then we informed the department that we can't sit for 2 days. We want to sit for 1 day. Yashita and the advocate, Masongo was here, and we could have dealt with this last week in view of time, because we had to sit for the whole day. But by the time we informed him, we still have a space we could accommodate. Was Chengkuti, the person who has drafted this, is not part of the delegation that came, which was Mr. George, John Zwase, John. We will meet today. But Ubutu George Mugazi Wayenge Kungalilula doesn't mean Ubuti UDG as the head in the accounting office. Kufanele angabikhona Tangas Jail Ubuti Umani Lozozazo present as team. And that trend, we questioned it with former DG Ubuti. In the last year, his contract, on the last year of the contract, the former DG, Mr. Tumele Lama Junior official. And a similar trend years ago, Uguti, who acting DG, Agabi Kona, Angus Jelly in advance, a parliamentary licensing officer, Angus Jelly, Sifiyeti Nala, Sizo face and a net junior officials who are accounting office in the department. You are not the accounting office in the department. I guess it's John Awe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I sincerely and profusely apologize on behalf of the Department of Transport for the manner in which it has addressed and obviously then interacted with the portfolio committee. I would through the parliamentary liaison officer inform the Department of Transport of the instructions by the portfolio committee and the process that needs to unfold. I humbly apologize and sincerely apologize on behalf of the Minister, the Acting DG, and the DDG for Road Transport.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my question was a mouthful. That's why I just couched in the manner in which I raised it, because I wanted to remind the department that a certain procedure to be followed. But Chairperson, I'm off from Dr. John. I just want to check on the ELOs. How did they land here? Because surely before they come here, they should have directed with their person to say we are going to a portfolio committee. And at that point, a letter of apology should have been raised. Or did they just look at the program and come all by themselves? Surely there's a mandate to advise the different person, the two PLOs. Because they can't just come and sit, and the issue is with the, who's the one took an instruction from this area, the advocate that was here. But surely the actual people, how did they come to this meeting without having a letter? In fact, also when a DG is not going to attend, he or she should confer her powers to the acting in the form of a letter. so that this committee is given the dignity that it deserves. Now, I just want to check from them what happened. So I want to hear their voice, other than, because that John might be immune because he has been given such based on the understanding that he must not come and talk about this matter. The real people are the people. Can we find out from them before I rest your case?
Okay, thank you, sir. The process is that we will get a notice from the committee secretary, which will then forward to the office of the DG. And the office of the DG will then decide who in the department will come represent the department here at the full committee meeting. With this one, we got a notification, but there were changes. We only got an amended notification on Friday. And I was communicating with the committee secretary, even late yesterday, about the presentation. But the process is that the office of the director general will be the one who will say this official will be coming to parliament to represent the department. In terms of the seniority of the official coming to the portfolio committee, Chair, I must apologize. We were not aware that there is a standing arrangement that if a notice comes to the department, it should be the accounting officer or at least the deputy director general coming to represent the department in these meetings. We took it for granted because we are, as you might be aware, we are new in this department. From where we're coming from, the arrangement was that at least from a director level until at least a director or someone which knows the subject that the portfolio committee is interested on can come to the portfolio committee and address the portfolio committee. But we have taken note of the chairperson's consent. Yes.
We are not disputing with the director or the chief director in come, but that has to be cleared with the portfolio committee. As the accounting officer, will not be coming, the DG will not be coming, and the citizen that will be coming. The same applies with me. If we are undertaking an oversight and we are going to pass, and I'm not going to be leading the delegation as opposed to the most senior person in the ruling party, which is the group, will then lead the delegation on my behalf. I have to inform the CEO, the Prasa, no chairperson will discuss with me. I will not be leading the delegation. Suspending practice. I-issue la ukuthi nangu direct but asinayo apology.
Yeah, Chair, as I said, we have taken note of your concerns and we make sure that it does not repeat itself. We will strengthen our communication with Vanessa and also to avoid, we will maybe in future appreciate to Vanessa communicates with the department through us, because I've noticed that we also get Office of the DG also been copied on the communication, and we'll then take it for granted that Office of the DG should apologize for the DG. But we will make sure that if the DG has to apologize for future briefings, it's also communicated to Vanessa before the meeting, to Valerie before the meeting.
Chairperson, it should not take away the responsibility of Vanessa. She has to communicate with the senior officials of the department at that level. There's a standard practice and a standard rule. It can't be reduced that Vanessa should communicate with you. In fact, you should be inquisitive or very curious about this committee, how it works, and then she can interact with you and update you and open the lines of communications. But in terms of the norms, Valerie must communicate and interact with the senior management of the department, because also when she accounts about this committee, she accounts from a directive or from an informed position from the department at the senior level, because you won't be there when we think Valerie will cast about the communication at the senior level in terms of the DG or whatever. So I'm saying you should be proactive at the PLO, because you are a parliamentary liaison officer to this committee on behalf of the department. Thank you, Jackson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it would be wrong to expect the department to be arguing like we're arriving at new procedures or new points of determination. Mm-hmm. We know that this has been a procedure all along in all our interactions with the department. So what the gentleman is advocating is like we're coming up with new procedures. It's not entirely true reflection. It's not new procedures. It is what has been happening. All that has to happen is that there has to be an admission on the part of the department that they are at fault, and therefore this going forward needs to be corrected.
Chair, we apologize again, and then we are going to make sure that this does not happen in the future. Thank you.
We apologize. John was the son, Yena, a saving knife. We messenger you. We are now giving you an opportunity to make the presentation. John, we come all that at our end. We'll fight
tonight.
Hi, okay, of course. My God. Tata wa magamu yu John, u Johna.
We have a letter.
I won't be able to afford the loan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members and colleagues. I think the presentation that, or the discussion that is going to unfold, is based on the initial presentation that was done by the Department of Transport in relation to the proposed amendment to the National Road Traffic Act, and the engagement with the Portfolio Committee in relation to the issues that they needed to be addressed in the regulations before they can then agree in principle with the proposed regulation. Key to the discussion centered around the question of second-hand parts, or the regulation that referred to the question wherein the intention of the legislator would appear to prohibit the usage of second-hand genuine parts to be utilized in the fixing or replacing of any part of a motor vehicle. The specific regulation is basically Regulation 13A of the National Road Traffic Act, which then provided that a motor vehicle which has been compacted, those parts of the compacted motor vehicle would not be utilized to repair any motor vehicle. And the Department of Transport subsequently then went back and looked at that provision, and it was then amended to ensure that we clarify and we also provide for the usage of the genuine second-hand parts. What we have done in the regulation is that we have inserted sub-regulation 2 into the National Road Traffic Act. The one chairperson, the one that is the other one, but it appears on the screen in terms of the initial one was just It was just a regulation which referred to that part. We have inserted sub-regulation 2 just to make it clear that second-hand GN part or parts can still be utilized in the repairing of motor vehicles.
Okay. Can we then give members an opportunity to ask questions and make comments?
Through you, because we did interact with this clause and this regulation after last week, given this document. Maybe what we want to have is the department to take us through holistically, so that and then thereafter we can also ask our legal person the response, so that we are advised accordingly with this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm not certain that as I can go back through the presentation or take it the members through the specific regulation. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Valerie, I need the indulgence here. Yeah. Where's the, because I'm trying to search for the presentation and take it there. Thank you, Madam Chair. Obviously, I'll just go through the issues that I've made an introduction on in relation to the presentation, in relation to what the Portfolio Committee raised, that the proposed regulation does not, as it stands or going forward, have unintended consequences to the second-hand and genuine car parts by prohibiting the sale of these parts. And obviously the solution that the Department of Transport proposed or inserted was then to make that necessary regulation amendment whereby we inserted a proviso clause which provides that the provisions of Regulation 13A does not apply to parts of motor vehicle which have been deregistered as a result of such motor vehicle not being fit to be operated on a public road. Basically, that insertion will ensure that those parts of motor vehicle which have been deregistered are able to be utilized. Some of the issues were just a discussion in terms of the issues that were raised, which was basically not necessarily problematic at that point. But I just inserted those provisions just to clarify those processes in relation to the discussion that took place at the Portfolio Committee. which basically related to the regulation of the driving schools industry and how that process going forward is going to be unfolding. And then the second one issue that needed to be addressed was basically the question relating to the retrospective application of some of the provisions that were contained in the National Road Traffic Act, because at my last presentation and the process that followed, the regulations were published and were submitted to Parliament in June last year, and the department had hoped that the regulations would then be or would be finalized before the date as contained in the regulation were closed. So some of the regulations obviously referred to December 2012 and which when you read those provisions or those amendments at a particular time after 2012, it would then seem that we then backdating the provisions of those regulations. However, what we have done is to make the necessary changes to those provisions that had date in them to ensure that, one, the entire regulations or some of the provisions that have date in them does not have a retrospective application, wherein it becomes difficult for the stakeholders and role players to comply, which obviously on a legal requirement which may have lapsed or passed, and they are then expected in 2013 to comply with something which refers to 2012. So what we have done is then to make amendment to all those provisions that refers to dates wherein the regulations are going to become operational, by ensuring that the date are in the future. For instance, we have a regulation that would refer to December 2013, but depending on the process, it does not imply that if the process is not finalized, that date will then come up as December 2013. If the process gets finalized after December 2013, it would then imply that the date would then have to be shifted to a date wherein you enable your stakeholders to be able to comply with those requirements. So all the dates that are contained in the National Road Traffic Act would then be amended to ensure that at whatever time that they become or they are published, it does not adversely affect the stakeholders or role players that we have in the country by making it impossible for them to comply. This is the issues about the date and obviously the type of errors that were raised by the state law advisors in relation to references to ADAPTA or ADAPTA DOLI. Those amendments were effected to ensure that we address both the concerns of the portfolio committee and the state law advisors. So in principle, the issues that were raised in entirety by the portfolio committee and the state law advisors were incorporated in the draft regulation amendment presented or submitted to the portfolio committee today.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm Lona Bosopela, Parliamentary Legal Advisor, Legal Services. Just briefly, Chair, on the, I think in the main there were two issues that were raised. One is the one which he first made a presentation on in relation to supplementing Regulation 13A. So I'm of the view that that particular amendment is in order and it is in fact properly drafted. On the second issue then that related to the retrospective effect of the regulations, maybe I think he may move on then to, because I gather that he's saying the effective date, since there was a mistake previously with the date having been a 2012 date, they are now saying that the date will be an effective date when people will be able to comply with the regulations once they have been introduced. But I didn't get to say which mechanism are they going to use in determining which date, because obviously beyond this parliamentary process that the committee would have agreed and the regulations would have been will have to be issued. How are they going to determine the readiness of the people to comply? So maybe if they can maybe take the committee into their confidence in that regard, so that they know that there are no people who are going to complain and say, when you publish, we were not ready. And if they are going to publish the regulations at a later date than the commencement date, what mechanism are they going to use there? So that I think that would, when they explain that, satisfy the honourable members. Thanks.
And I'm celebrating on the layman's language. Here I am, the Mazabello thing. And this regulation is passed on the 30th of August 2018. When am I expected to comply? On the 30th of August, or 30 days after the approval of the regulation, or is it 30 days after, 60 days after, or 90 days after? For me, no, but when I'm denying more than the most available, what are you happy? So that you won't have any ambiguity with it. My family can comply. You comply, I mean. Ngoba kule ayokuqala ikhona idate ithi December 2012 kule ayikho idate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As it has been discussed, the dates that are contained in the regulations, if you look at, for instance, Regulation 21, where in previously at the date of 2012, what we have inserted is to have a specific date wherein the stakeholders are supposed to comply. So basically the intention that we want to implement is to ensure that at least you give your stakeholders ample time to comply. For instance, we wouldn't want it to be such that within a month there's expectation on the role players to comply. What we aim for is that at least a period of 3 to 6 months would be adequate for the stakeholders to comply, because if you look at the industry that we regulate, for instance, if you regulate motor vehicle manufacturers, you need to take into consideration the production process of a plant with regards to producing of a motor vehicle. So basically you would require that when you promulgate a regulation, you consider the process that it takes in the production line to the stage wherein a finished product can be put on the market and that finished product obviously have to comply with whatever you have prescribed on that particular day. So the date that you propose is 3 months or 6 months for compliance, taking into account various role players that we have. If you talk about ordinary citizen, your requirement may be different to a certain extent because it may not require change into a particular process, but you then need to inform them to say on this particular date this is going to be a requirement. So if you look at the regulations that previously had a date that was passed, what is contained now is a date, some of them is 2014, some of them is December 2012. So obviously it's to ensure that we address you as a motor vehicle owner and also the motor vehicle manufacturers. And also because the regulation that we draft is basically implemented through the National Traffic Information, the NATIS, it's very critical that at whatever particular point that you promulgate the regulations, it does not affect the working of the system in such a manner that the system cannot literally be able to ensure compliance by the citizen. For instance, when we amend a particular provision dealing with driving license, because it would require a system change, you would then have to give our service provider lead time to ensure that they can then work all those requirements into how the system works to ensure that at the time that you as an individual goes and apply, for instance, for a driving license, the system is obviously then done in such a manner that it complies with the regulations. But in responding to your question, we give 3 to 6 months lead time for compliance. After date of publication by the minister. So if the minister's approved and the regulations were published, the date of implementation would be 3 months or 6 months after the date of publication, not when they are published and they become operational. Thank you.
Is there any other questions?
So I just wanted to ask a point of clarity. We've had some input now from the State Law Advisor and the presenter going through some of the proposed amendments. Are we supposed to note that as we're going and ask questions at the end, or is it at each point? I'm not quite sure when we are doing this and how we actually are doing the process. I'm not objecting, I just need to know how we're doing it.
I didn't get the question.
Yeah. Paraphrase. I'm just asking what the actual basis is that we're conducting now. When you want input from us, is it from, or is it clause by clause, or at the end of the presentation explanation from the State Law Advisor? Maybe I can explain. My colleague is, in this, is the individual from my party on this committee that deals with this particular thing. Listening as we go along and making notes, but at some point I need to consult with him and find out what he would have liked to have said, which he now asked me to take over. He unfortunately is at a funeral of one of our MPLs that died last week. So that's a very legitimate reason not to be here, but I just need to know how we're going to be interacting so I know what state I need to consult with him. That's really what I'm asking.
Chairperson, I would have thought that when we are dealing with a bill, we will have to deal with normally dealing with it through clause by clause. Mm-hmm. But that in terms of the regulations, once the two presenters clarified, at that point we can always intervene and ask questions. That's why I say, unfortunately, enough last week when Mr. Ollis was here, we were quite happy in terms of the amendments, but what we wanted to check was to be smart on the regulation. Where there is an unclear situation, you can always raise a hand. Just like now, the process, the department is giving us the amendments, and if, for instance, the state law advisor also see or they converge on the credibility of the amendments, then that's fine, because that's what we want to see, that the bill is not compromised by the regulations. So you can always, at any given time, to me, for my understanding, Chair, to raise an issue if it is unclear. Thank you.
If I can maybe just help and make it easier for you, would it be in order for the presentation to be complete? I can try and listen and see if there's anything that I think the analyst might need to know, and then I'll ask him at the end. And then if there's any clarification, if I could do that at the end, is that going to help rather than stopping all the time? It just makes it quicker and more efficient, I think. I wouldn't normally ask this, but when a colleague passes away in every culture, I mean, you need to pay your respect, and I'm at a disadvantage because I deal with CNAs, you know, and he deals with road and rail. So, it's just one of those unforeseen circumstances where there is respect to a colleague who passed away, and I'm really wanting to try and make this efficient for everybody.
If I hear you correctly, you are asking us that we go through the whole so that we can have an understanding. And then after you have gained that understanding, you will then be in position to ask your colleague to comment and give you a direction of how you have to do.
If that's what you're going to say, I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. That's fine.
Thank you.
Honourable Ben.
I was going to try to assist Chair. I was equally not present when we dealt with this matter for health reasons, and I forwarded an apology. In fact, if we were to follow what Honorable Krabuk is proposing, it would also suit me as well. However, if I am to reply to Honorable Krabuk, Honorable Ollis in the media last week did indicate that his concern in terms of this particular regulation was only part of the collective concern, which is what the official from the department has dealt with. And he said, only if the department can deal accurately with the concern of the collective, then you'll be a happy man in terms of this particular regulation. So what I'm trying to say is, though I was not there, but I get sense that the committee is at content with how the department has been able to respond to a concern that would assume that is a concern of the entire collective. So I would therefore thinking that Honorable Ollis would then differ, I think would be a myth based on what he said in the previous meeting. Thanks.
I initially wanted to say that, but I don't want to be blamed for not allowing enough time for members to make their comments. We are dealing today with a response of the department to what we had then queried. We are not starting from scratch to get a presentation from the department. The presentation was made. And we were happy with all other clauses of the regulation. And the only issues were on the issue that the department has come back to respond, to give us a response to. So the only reason that has made me is also talking of why Honorable Ollis is not here. He wanted me to take that into consideration in my judgment, and I have seriously considered that I don't want to be blamed to say I was insensitive and did not allow the DA to exhaust but to get a fair opportunity of commenting here, and the reason the member who had, who was more knowledgeable on this was attending a funeral, I didn't want to blame for that. That's why I agreed to this. It will then be on Honorable Grombo's decision to say, do we continue to get the whole presentation, or he can consult with his colleague and get his view. I'm prepared to adjourn for 15 minutes and allow him to have the wise
member.
Yeah.
Chair,
I
really do appreciate that. I don't want to be difficult, and I want to make your job more difficult than it really is, so I really would appreciate that small dispensation, and I'd like to thank you for making that available. If the committee agrees, then I'd appreciate it from their side as well. So if that's the decision, I'm very happy with it.
Well, which one are you taking? The 15 minutes break to consult with him to ascertain that what is being presented by the members is what he has said, or you want us to go through the whole presentation again?
So when you say go through it again, weren't you doing that anyway? Weren't we going through the presentation again? We've got it up on the screen, and there's a presentation taking place as you described. Yeah, I don't want to stop that.
I'm saying we have gone through the, what was being presented here are the amendments that were going to be done in the presentation. The presentation was done. The whole presentation was done, and the committee understood the presentation.
No, I understand what you mean now. No. Please don't go through the thing again. That's not fair to the members. Just what you're doing now, the amendments to the presentation, is absolutely fine. If we can just take 10 minutes, it wouldn't even take 15, just 10 minutes after that. I think the only clause he's concerned about is the one affecting the spare D-list, which he did raise in the previous meeting.
Which has been presented, and all that, that is what has been presented.
Yeah, clause 13.
Yes. What I'm then saying that the department has presented the amendment effected as a result of our concern. What I'm then prepared to do is to adjourn for 15 minutes to give you an opportunity to consult with your colleague.
Yes. That's exactly fine. That's understood. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy
That's
with
fine.
That.
Okay. Do that.
Person, the time now is 25 for 12.
Yeah.
Can we agree that we come back at what is 15 minutes for 25 to 12? So that, because look, we should not be intimidated by these thick documents that will be given, because a presentation was done. So I'm saying it was the two issues, yes. Can we allow that we come back at 10 to 12.
We are attending and coming back at 10 to 12.
So you want to use this? No. This is no.
I guess it's just because of the
And we are nothing against them. Mm.
Okay.
And then the day when they pray, because you went actually be you,
Don't be chasing.
Thanks again, Chair, for the opportunity to confer. It was, in fact, that clause 13A, subsection 2, which we wanted in there. I would just like clarity from the State Law Advisor. The new amendment, as it currently states, it talks about no part of a vehicle can be used to build or repair another motor vehicle if the original motor vehicle is demolished, which I take it would be if the vehicle was part of proceeds of crime and therefore it was crashed or completely written off in a bad accident. The new amendment, or the amendment that's now been suggested, is that the provisions of that subclause 1 won't apply in respect to the motor vehicle which is deregistered as unfit for use. And I'd just like clarity from the State Law Advisor. Would unfit for use be, for example, vehicles that are not the proceeds of crime, vehicles that are not written off because of a very bad accident, merely an unroadworthy vehicle, something like that? And would that then give sufficient scope for the spare parts industry to make use of that particular vehicle such that the very blunt instrument that originally was here is modified to the extent that they can carry on with their business? And I think the example that Honourable Ollis used at that occasion was, if cars in an accident but there's nothing wrong with the bumper, you wouldn't want the bumper not to be used by someone running a spare parts business and for that individual to be able to carry on, because the potential, if it was too blunt and too all-inclusive, this clause, it would have had the potential of actually closing down a lot of these businesses and leading to loss of employment. So can you give me and Rumi, my colleague, the reassurance that unfit for use is wide enough in your legal definition to enable the spare parts industry and related industries to carry on as before without impacting on your objective which you originally phrased in clause 1? I'd appreciate if I can have that clarity, and if I can, then we're very happy with this amendment.
Okay, Thanks, Honorable Chair. I will ask that one, maybe because I have not been a part of the process for long, that one in relation to the intention, maybe the department does try to explain the terminology and the intention for the honorable member, and then at the end of the process, then I will be able to advise in relation to whether the honorable member's latter part of the question has been covered.
Before the department responds to the question, there is an amendment that I want to make in what has been presented by Honorable Rompuy. It was not only Honorable Olive that raised that issue. All of us in the portfolio committee, I specifically raised this issue and I made an example of the white. And I was even misunderstood by the department to mean that I was referring to the blade, which would not be suitable if it is a blade of a car that has been standing on the sun for a long time. But what I was referring to was the arm of the wiper, because I have in the past bought an arm of the wiper from a scrapyard. So the point that I'm making here is that all members and from all political parties were concerned by two issues in relation to the usage of parts of a car that is registered. The first issue is that if all the parts, even those that are in a suitable condition for them to be reused to build another car, were then not going to be used as a result of the regulation, then the industry that sells those parts would suffer. And the impact of that would be that there would be job losses. That is point number one. But point number two was that our concern was that if members of the public who cannot afford to buy new parts would then be deprived of getting second-hand parts that are cheaper than getting the new part. That was the concern, which is why then the department had to go there. The point that I'm making is that it should not be perceived as if one particular member within the portfolio committee was concerned. The entire portfolio committee was concerned by that, because we all represent the interests of the public, and in this case, we are representing the interests of the second-hand dealers of spare parts, as well as the public that has to have an access on second-hand. I will not give the opportunity to the department.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the insertion would address the various issues that may be raised with regards to the usage of a part of a motor vehicle which was registered. So it covers all the scenarios in relation to a vehicle which is not compacted. So any vehicle which is not compacted but which has been deregistered has not been fit for use on a public road, those parts are able to be utilized. The only part that cannot be utilized is of a motor vehicle that has been compacted, because if it's compacted, you can't use anything arising or coming out of that motor vehicle. So all those scenarios relating to bumper bashing, rear and hitting or collisions, and whatever parts that may be found on that vehicle may still be utilized. It's only on the compacted vehicles or parts that cannot be used, but other parts can be utilized. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honorable Kronko.
thanks for that, Chair, and to the department. It sounds very good. Can I just ask then, in clause one, you would be saying then, you could say, for example, a motor vehicle which was deregistered in terms of Regulation 55 has permanently demolished, and change the word, or compacted, and then in the second one you'd say, shall not apply in respect of a motor vehicle which is deregistered as unfit for use or not compacted. I mean, really, unfit for use means not compacted, and demolished means compacted. Is that what Jackie's saying? Is it coterminous, or is it a little bit more subtle than that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's the question of semantics to defend that. When you take compacted, it covers both scenarios to say the compacted means that a vehicle which has been compacted, whether you add it in the sub-regulations to exclude what you have already excluded in sub-regulation 2, it's immaterial, because in sub-regulation 2, what you're saying is that the provisions of sub-regulation 1 does not apply to vehicles listed in sub-regulation 2. So your regulation 1 talks to compaction of a motor vehicle or parts. So whether you include it in sub-regulation 2 or the word compacted is immaterial, because you have then referred to, you have done your cross-referencing to say it's there to a certain extent to say those that fall under sub-regulation 1, the compacted ones are not sub-regulation to exclude that. So whether you include that word compacted is immaterial.
Chairperson, may you just augment what was said? You see, this matter was raised with the advocate last week, you don't remember. And then the advocate said, that's why at that point he said, no, I'm not the legal drafter. Let the legal drafter come. Now, in terms of the explanation, I can see now the reason why. Because the terminology of this clause, compacted, this has been demolished and so on, does reside well with the legal drafter, because I'm much more clearer in terms of what he explains. We adjourned the meeting last week based on what was raised in the committee meeting. Otherwise, I'm also happy now that it has been clarified. Thank you, Chair.
Before the legal advisor, I also want to say my own understanding of the two regulations. Regulation 1 relates to a car that is demolished and affected. It's finished. You can't use the part of that car. Regulation 3 relates to the vehicle that is unfit, but there are some parts of that vehicle that can still be used. So, a demolished vehicle or a compacted vehicle will not have any part that is can be used, because it's destroyed. If we understand what happens when you demolish a car and you correct a car, completely destroyed, there is no part of it that can be used. That is my understanding. Unless if demolishing a car has got a different meaning from compacting a car.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. No, I don't think I need to say much. I think the clarity and the understanding of the members, including myself, Chair, who has spoken on there. On the item is the same, and yeah, because an unfit car obviously would be unfit for use, but there would still be components within that motor vehicle that can still be used to be put into another motor vehicle as opposed to. So I think I am satisfied. I don't know if the honourable member is satisfied.
Is there any member who would want to raise anything in relation to this particular regulation? ask again, is there any member who would want to say anything in terms of this regulation? Cole?
We are content, sir.
DA? ANC?
We are happy, Chairperson.
Thank you. Again, in terms of the process, we're not required to go close by close, because we did that. We only had to deal with the amendments that we have proposed, which we all seem to be happy. I will just wait for Mangan so that I can read the report of the
while sitting here, can I just I want to make a distinction because I was a bit confused because I normally refer to the lead state advisor. Exactly, you know, and I know Uruma does not know that.
the difference between a parliamentary legal advisor and a state law advisor. Soka is pulling Duma's leg by saying that he doesn't understand, Honorable Duma doesn't understand the difference between the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal advisor. And I am adding it to pulling the other leg to say it would then mean that he doesn't know that the state has got three arms. We were just whiling away time when we were waiting for Honorable Gele, the former mayor of Swansea Metro. Okay. I'm ready to read the report that they commit on this. It reads as follows. The report of the Buffalo Committee on Transport on the amendment to the National Road Traffic Regulation dated 6 August 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Transport having considered the amendment to the National Road Traffic Regulation 200 tabled in terms of Section 75-6A of the National Road Traffic Act 1996 referred to it reports as follows. The committee considered the report of the Interim Joint Committee on Scrutiny of Delegated Legislation on the Regulation on 18 June 2018. The committee is satisfied that its comments on the regulations pertaining to the second-hand genuine parts industry contained in Regulation 13A were incorporated. The committee noted that some of the provisions of the regulation apply retrospectively, which is not expressly provided for in the Principal Act, and is of the view that those provisions should apply from the date on which the regulation comes into effect. Okay. Is that what we are saying here?
Yes, Mr. President, we do agree.
This is really disturbing us. This is a meeting of a portfolio committee. We are still proceeding with the meeting, but the media is busy interfering with a member that is supposed to be concentrating on the meeting. No, but the fact of the matter is, this meeting is not the meeting of the media. It is the meeting of the portfolio committee. And all of us are expected to sit here and conclude our work. The media is not the priority. The priority is us to make laws in this parliament. It is very disrespectful of the media to keep on disturbing us once we are busy working. We do allow them to sit and be part of the meeting when we are deliberating. But we also need to be respected in doing our work with dignity, in the same manner that they would also not want us to disturb them when they are too busy with their work. I again want to make this point that we are here as public representatives. And our allegiance is more on the public, not necessarily the media. So we must be given the space that we need and be treated with the dignity and respect that we deserve, and be allowed to continue doing our work without being disturbed. We understand the media wants to meet its deadlines, but that cannot be done at the expense of our work. I will have to start from the beginning because we have been disturbed. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Transport on the amendments to the National Road Traffic Regulation dated 6 August 2015. The Portfolio Committee on Transport, having considered the amendments to the National Road Traffic Regulation 2000 tabled in terms of Section 75(6)(a) of the National Road Traffic Act 1996, referred to it. Report as follows. The committee considered the report of the Inter-Regional Committee on Scrutiny of Delegated Legislation of the Regulation on the 18th of June 2018. The committee is satisfied that its comments on the regulations pertaining to the second-hand genuine parts industry contained in Regulation 13A were incorporated. The committee noted that some of the provisions of the regulation applied retrospectively, which is not expressly provided for in the Principal Act, and is of the view that those provisions should apply from the date on which the regulations come into effect. Report to be considered. Okay. May I ask again that this is the report of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Could I have the mover and the seconder for the approval of this report?
Chairperson, I move that the report to be approved by the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Thank you.
Any seconder? Narabelle?
Second, Chair.
Portfolio Committee has adopted the report on the amendments to the National Road Traffic Regulation today on the 6th of August 2013. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think if a stakeholder, which is very key to this bill, has made a request and proactively you interacted with them, I think I would propose that the committee abides with what you are bringing on the table, so that we have that meeting next week as proposed. I'll move and second that, Chairperson.
There is a move for us to agree to that we have our public hearing next week. We give the Maritime Law Association of South Africa a week to make the submission. Any second for that? Not a second.
I do
second the motion. Can we then go to the third item, the minute?
As we move forward, I just want to check that the only submission that we received from the stakeholders. Okay. No problem. Thank you.
Can we then go to the minutes? There are two types of minutes. One is for the two types of minutes for the meeting held on 13th of July 2012. The first set of minutes is for a meeting that took place at 10 o'clock. We will start with that. So on page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Chair,
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Seconder?
I second.
Thank you very much. The minutes
of the meeting that was of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, which was held on the 30th of July 2010 at 10 o'clock, has been adopted. Can we move to the second set of minutes of a meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, which was held on Tuesday, the 30th of July at 14 hours. Can we are on page 1? Page 2? Page 3? Page 4? And page 5. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Bele?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you. Can we have a seconder?
Chairperson, though not very normal, I will have I agree. I will not remember Bele.
I thought he was an alliance to Honorable. Okay.
I'm sorry, I lied. No, he's the opposition.
Honorable Suba is the opposition, and Honorable Ngele, let's sit next to you, and your alliance is not settled. What's happening now? Is the alliance breaking up?
No, but you're always looking forward to that. You'll never break up.
Oh, yeah, he is solid. Thank you very much. The minutes of the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Transport held on the 30th of July 2010 at 2 o'clock has been adopted. Honorable Kombo, you related a painful situation of a member of your party that has passed on. I would like to you to share the information that I think that it is an important issue for us to know. The person who is a member is a colleague, and if it started to in another sphere of government.
Sure, Chairperson. His name was Gavin Lewis. He was a member of the Gauteng legislature, our spokesman on basically economic affairs and finance, that type of portfolio. He was noted as something of an expert in the field, and he made quite a big contribution, I believe, to the ongoing economic debate in the country. I'm told he died of cancer. It was very tragic. He was diagnosed on the Monday and died on the Friday. So he really had, this is what I'm told, he had really 4 days to prepare himself, which is not easy. And my colleague Ian Ollis, Honourable Ollis, is obviously from the province of Gauteng, as I think all our members of this committee know. And as such, knew Gavin a lot better than I did. And because they're from the same province, we felt it was appropriate that he attend the funeral, which is today. So yeah, it is, as you say, correctly, Chairperson, is always sad when one of our colleagues from any party passes on. And I thank you for your concern. And I'm glad that in Parliament we do have a process whereby there's often a remembrance service where representatives from other parties do attend. That's been the case of other colleagues of mine that have passed on in the past. I've appreciated that attendance. And in Parliament itself, we have a debate where everybody contributes. And I think that's fitting that at those moments we recognize our common nation and common South Africanness, and we do this as an institution of Parliament rather than a party political thing. So in that vein, I thank you for your concern and give me an opportunity just to inform the committee. And of course I will inform my colleague Honourable Ollis of the fact that you gave me this opportunity when he returns. So thank you from both of us for that.
Thank you very much. May I then ask that we sent up in Oxford at the moment as well.
Can I ask the members of the party to remain quiet? My party.
Your party.
ANC members, can you please remain for 1 second, please, so that we just do in-house things and thereafter. For alliance.
Hello.